time is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Sarah Wombe. North Korea says Australian student Alex Sigley had spread anti-Pyongyang propaganda and engaged in espionage by providing photos and other materials to news outlets with critical views toward the North. Pyongyang's official Korean Central News Agency says Mr. Sigley was deported on Thursday after he pleaded for forgiveness over his activities, which the agency said infringed on North Korea's sovereignty. Mr. Sigley arrived in Tokyo on Thursday after telling reporters he was in very good condition, but without saying what happened to him. He'd been studying at Pyongyang University and guiding tours in the North Korean capital before disappearing from social media contact with family and friends. South Australian environmentalists say the state government's push to ban single-use plastics will put pressure on other states to follow suit. The Liberal state government is drafting legislation for public discussion to ban plastic cutlery, straws and drink stirrers and hopes to introduce laws next year. Chair of Keeping SA Beautiful, John Phillips, has told the ABC the move is just the beginning.
Now, I am aware that already, following the announcement that the Australian Capital Territory is looking very closely at what South Australia is doing. And I just suspect it will not be long before other jurisdictions pick up on it very quickly.
A Melbourne man and a 17-year-old boy have been charged after allegedly stealing a car and firearms in separate burglaries. Police say they found the duo driving an allegedly stolen Mercedes and followed them from Langwarrin to Richmond, where they dumped it and ran early yesterday morning. Two bags containing firearms were then found inside the vehicle. The 25-year-old man and the teen were arrested a short time later after they were tracked down by the dog squad. The pair were charged with 17 offences, including aggravated burglary, car theft and firearm theft. In Queensland, Translink has closed tracks on the Beenleigh, Gold Coast, Cleveland, Ipswich and Springfield lines for maintenance this weekend. Translink says they are working to keep disruptions to a minimum. Overseas, the US Geological Survey confirmed Southern California was rocked by an earthquake measuring 7.1, followed up by a second strong tremor of 5.5 magnitude. There were initial reports of cracked buildings and power outages. A US correspondent, Priscilla Huff, reports.
Seismologists are warning these earthquakes could be just the precursor to a truly massive tremor. The epicenter of the recent quakes has been in the lightly populated desert mountains of California, but the most recent shaking was felt in Los Angeles, up north to the state capital, Sacramento, and further east to Las Vegas. California Governor Gavin Newsom confirms state emergency services are on highest alert. The tremors have revealed the limits of the U.S. Geological Survey's Shake Alert System, a system intended to warn people of the American West Coast, California, Oregon, and Washington before a truly damaging earthquake occurs. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And Iran will announce an increase in uranium enrichment to 5%, a concentration above the limit set by its 2015 nuclear deal. An Iranian official says the main announcement tomorrow will be the increase of the level of enrichment to 5% from 3.67% that was agreed to under the deal. This is Air News. The 106th Tour de France is underway with Stage 1 completed in Brussels. Terry Daniel has the details.
Belgian cycling great Eddy Merckx got the Tour de France underway as thousands of fans flooded to the first Grand Départ in Brussels for 61 years. The 74-year-old sent the 176 riders on their way for the first of 21 stages, a 194-kilometre trek around the Flanders countryside. The first action was the intermediate sprint won by Peter Sagan. Then there was a crash with 1.6 kilometres to go, leaving a tight bunch to fight out the final placings, with Dutchman Mike Tunison winning from Peter Sagan in a photo finish. Australian rider Caleb Ewan took third, as well as the best young rider jersey. Stage 2 is a team time trial in Brussels tonight. Terry Daniel, Air Sport.
Embarrassed Adelaide coach Don Pike has apologised to Crows fans after a 57-point capitulation to arch AFL foes Port Adelaide. Pike accused his players of laziness in Port's 15-11-101-25-14-44 victory at Adelaide Oval Oval, the Crows' lowest total against Port. The Eagles, Bulldogs, Tigers and Bombers all posted wins. Newcastle coach Nathan Brown admits he's tempted to play his bevy of State of Origin stars just 48 hours after their Game 3 decider next week. The Knights remain in fifth spot in the NRL despite yesterday's four-point loss to the Warriors. And Ash Barty has defeated British wildcard Harriet Dart in straight sets to clinch a spot in the Wimbledon fourth round. Australian Independent Radio News.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old and 5-year-old Pacer of the Year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the Tab app or at your local. The Kosciuszko, tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Dali Stallions have sired three of the four juvenile Group 1 winners this season, including the Group 1 Blue Diamond.
Liar over the top! Liar's won the diamond!
The first three home in the Golden Slipper.
Kiyomichi in front from microphone of Liar.
And the stallion making Group 1 sire. Produce.
And microphones won it. Microphones won the English side.
Start with a Dali Stallion and the rest will follow.
Customers love our coffee, but we just can't keep up with the morning rush. I need more hands on deck.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent $10 billion to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Apply in 10 minutes, get approval in hours, and have the money in your account as fast as the next business day. So for a loan to help you hire more employees, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
So here's Terry, and there's the ball on the inside for Mitchell, and he's able to break the tackle and score a try. That's the brilliance of Latrell Mitchell.
It's absolutely warped into the stones by D.B. Gregorius. Solo shot, D.B. Gregorius, Yankees 12, Red Sox 4.
Crowd giving all they can, and Smith gets it for 2,500 points.
Scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome to the show. I'm Ray Thomas. My favourite part of the working week, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on a Sunday morning. But a show with a difference today. My co-host Jimmy Smith, he's overseas at a mate's wedding in Slovakia, enjoying himself. But I am joined by my good friend Michael Karyanis from the Daily Telegraph. Michael, good morning. Welcome to the show, this time as a co-host rather than a contributor. And so much sport overnight and again today, but particularly three sleeps to go to the Origin decider.
Hi, morning, Ray. Great to be here. It's obviously a different position for me on this side of the desk, but it's fun. And Origin, wow, three sleeps to go. What about the storylines already? There's been so much chatter this week, the change in the New South Wales side, Mitchell Pearce.
Has that upset the camp at all?
I don't think so, because the guys they brought in, David Clemmer was unlucky not to be there in the first place. I thought Tarek Sims unlucky to be suspended, but that resolved itself pretty quickly, and they made a very early call on Nathan Cleary to rule him out on Wednesday, a bit of a shock for everyone. Everyone thought that he'd be given a little bit later, but Brad Fittler put an earlier deadline on him.
I guess he had to, didn't he? If Cleary couldn't run, you need your playmaker
Well, that's the issue. Yeah. If Mitchell Pearce was to come, and he was obviously brought into the side, they needed him in early. He hasn't played any part of the series, but he's an experienced player. But we all know the scrutiny which Mitchell's been under in the past in Origin, and all eyes will be on Mitchell Pearce come Wednesday night.
I often think about Mitchell Pearce, and has it been a little unfair? Because when he was playing for the Blues, obviously he was up against the greats. He was up against Thurston at his best, and Cronk, and etc. They're not there this time.
Yeah.
So much rest, obviously, on this decider. Is it unfairly labelled that Mitchell Pearce has been the scapegoat for so many Origin defeats?
Yeah, I think he bore the brunt of the results too much. It wasn't his result. It wasn't his fault New South Wales lost so often. But as the halfback and as the general, he has to take some responsibility. Because we saw in 14, Trent Hodgkinson, a player who doesn't have the star power of Mitchell Pearce, help direct the New South Wales side to a win. So a few of the results have to rest on Mitchell's shoulders, not as much as they did, but we all know what everyone will be talking about after the game on Wednesday night.
It's the Blues lose.
It's the Blues lose,
yeah,
definitely.
No, which is unfair. Look, hasn't been plain sailing for Queensland either. Kalyn Ponga, of course, ruled out early doors. Cameron Munster's been named at fullback. Given he was so good in the six in game one, he plays for in six for the Storm. He's a fantastic player with ball in hand. You want Cameron Munster to be there, ball in hand. Will he play 80 minutes at fullback?
I think so. I think we'll see a more dangerous Cameron Munster at one.
It's interesting.
He'll play on both sides of the field, get his hands on the ball more.
A roving commission.
And he's so elusive. I think when Kalyn went down, the best option was to pick Cameron Munster at fullback, because he's a gun fullback. And if it wasn't for a guy called Billy Slater, he would have played probably 100 games at fullback already.
Yeah,
but because they had to find a spot for him, because he's been so dynamic and he slotted so easily in the number six jersey for the Storm, that they can't move him, but he wants to play fullback and he'll get a chance to show why he can be such a dynamic number one.
Yeah, can't wait. Three sleeps to go to Origin. We'll get your tip for the big game later on in the show. But so much sport happened overnight. We better get to Wimbledon. Ashley Barty, she rolls on, Michael. She defeated England's Harriet Dart 6-1, 6-1 to move into the fourth round. We'll cross to Leo Schlenk, our good friend over at Wimbledon, later in the show. But look, she's world number one. She's the French Open champion. She just seems to be rolling along as if she's enjoying her tennis, which is so important, because having that pressure of world number one, that additional focus, it hasn't seemed to have an impact so far on Ashley.
Is she our highest profile athlete with the less fuss around her?
She just Good way to put it, yeah.
She just goes about her business, not almost nonchalant, but she's not fazed by anything. And she's such a great athlete, and I really hope she gets that. We have that matchup against Serena in the quarterfinals,
which is potential on the cards now, both through to the round of 16.
Yeah, if they get through their next matches, and then we get to see her against Serena. We saw Serena probably a bit disrespectfully have a dig at Ash Barty, saying that she didn't know she was world number one.
It was an interesting column by Sam Groth, wasn't it? You know, he really teed off against Serena and her lack of awareness about the women's game, and comparing her to what the big three have done in the men's sport, Rafa, Roger and Novak, and how much they've been role models and how they've promoted the women's game. Do you think it was fair comment on men's game? Do you think it was fair comment re Serena in the women's game?
I think so. Yeah, I don't think you can I don't think you can afford to be that aloof. And it was disrespectful to not praise and to not have an understanding of who's the best player in the world is. I think it shows a bit of arrogance.
Gee, I tell you what, it sets up a potential showdown for if they do meet in the quarterfinal. John Millman was knocked out overnight by Sam Querrey. He's tough to beat on grass with that huge serve. The American 7-6, 7-6, 6-3. John Millman did have an early break in the first set, but when Sam Querrey gets that first serve going, he's so hard to stop. Roger Federer got through also overnight, as did Nadal. Cricket World Cup. We are the walking wounded, literally, at the moment.
It's trouble.
Losing by 10 runs to South Africa overnight. Only just happened in the last half an hour. The Australians falling just short in the run chase, chasing 325. Dave Warner scoring runs for fun, another 100 for him. But that's a significant loss. Now, that means the Australians need to leave Manchester and play England now. The hosts at Edgbaston in Birmingham, where he's India, who won again overnight. Sharma, his fifth 100 for the tournament. He's batting fantastically top of the order. They now play New Zealand in the other semi-final. But the Australians, Khawaja injured his hamstring overnight. That came after the next session from hell early in the week when Marsh broke his arm and both Maxwell and Steve Smith had injuries. Yeah. Geez, we're limping into the semis here, Michael.
We're faltering a little bit, and I heard a stat on the way in that no side's ever lost their last pool game and won the World Cup.
Is that right?
Yeah, so that's an interesting proposition now for the Aussies. And answer me this, Ray. We have the Australian A's over there. Mm. Matthew Wade is scoring runs for fun. Overlooked again.
Yeah.
For Peter Hanscom's coming
he,
to...
What's he doing?
I don't know what he's done. Peter Hanscom's come into the squad. He had a solid summer in the one-day format, but he's come into the squad for the injured Sean Marsh, who's been ruled out. Now, if Usman Khawaja, his hamstring's not right by Thursday, Peter Hanscom will come into that side.
Well, Steve Smith will have to bat three.
Has to bat at three.
He got out cheaply overnight, which can happen, but he'll have to bat at three. The only constant so far is the Australians' bowling attack. It is working really well. I know South Africa got 325, and they must be wondering what might have been South Africa. They got off to such a shocking start in this tournament. They were out of play after, you know, very early doors, but they've come good at the back end of the tournament. De Plessis got 100 overnight, but again, Stark and Cummins and Berendorf, and I love having Nathan Lyon in the bowling attack. I think that's where Australia at least had that constant, with four bowlers in terrific form. The fifth bowler is still a bit of a concern. Stoinis hasn't made the impact we'd hoped. Maxwell hasn't either with the ball. So, and now the injuries, Michael.
Yeah, it's an interesting... It's not like they lost to a poor side. South Africa have had a dismal tournament, but they're still a very good cricket side. But interesting times. England, we touched them up a couple of weeks ago, not that long ago, and everyone was right in. They got hammered back at home. There's all this expectation of them to take out this tournament. They're the number one side in the world. They've been so dominant in the one-day competition for the past couple of years, but they had the wobbles, but they've come off. They've come through the back of that, so it's going to be a great matchup.
And a lot to do with Jason Roy coming back into the team, scoring runs quickly. Bairstow's got back-to-back hundreds. They've got off to solid starts again. They're going to be very, very hard to beat England because their confidence is back up. That's going to be such an interesting matchup. Michael, appreciate you coming in today because I know you were at Newcastle last night watching that game against the Warriors. It was a seesawing contest. We seem to say it every week, the bunker. What were they thinking? That was a try, wasn't it? Mamola on the corner, surely.
Look, I'm not as convinced as you, Ray.
Finger was on the ball.
The finger was on the ball, but did he have control of the ball?
Good point.
So if it was a grubber, it was a try. Mm. If he pounced on it, look, I know I'm probably in the minority here regarding that decision, and I need to slow it down and have another look at it, but I wasn't that filthy with the call.
Okay.
It was a weird match.
In general play, that would be ruled a knock-on, wouldn't it?
100%.
So that's the grey area when it comes to the bunker and tries. What about the Hicku situation late in the game when he was obviously concussed? Mm. One of the referees, I think it was Badger, was very close to him, could clearly see the Hicku was struggling to get even onto all fours, let alone get up. He was obviously in some trouble.
Mm. Got taken off.
But the call was we couldn't stop playing until the trainer ran on and told us he was concussed. Now, that's a dangerous situation if you've got a player who's in real trouble.
Well, you can tell, can't you?
Sure.
Referee, well, not even the referees, the sideline officials can tell to see if there's an issue there because Peter Hickel went down and Newcastle scored. Scored, went through. Went through the middle of the field and scored what we thought was going to be the match winner, but the Warriors came back. It was a very strange game. The Warriors were all over the Knights in the first half, but trailed 12-2 at halftime.
Yeah, and the Warriors did get up after losing in the heartbreaking circumstances, depending on the previous week. They must be a tough team to follow, the Warriors.
Imagine following the Warriors. Forget that.
But they got up 24-20 against the Knights earlier this round. The Roosters 24-16 against the Tigers. Luke Keary back. Good to see him back, having impact immediately. And the weekend's round began with the Storm beating the Dragons 16-14. Today, the Sharks take on the Broncos. Yesterday in New Zealand, the Crusaders, these are one of the great sporting franchises, aren't they? Their third successive Super Rugby title, their 10th in their history. They've beaten the Jaguars from Argentina 19-3, and they're just a great sporting franchise, Michael.
Yeah, they just keep rolling on, don't they, the Crusaders? They showed their class again, and The post-match celebration was an interesting one, wasn't it?
The coach. Do the dancing.
The dancing, the pelvic thrust in, there was a bit of everything.
Well, breakdancing has become an Olympic sport in 2024. Did you hear that?
He's putting his hand up.
I reckon he might be. it's remarkable. AFL now, the Swannies, I don't know if you follow the AFL much, Michael, but the Swannies are in real trouble. Now, that was a game they needed to win against Essendon. They're slipping away from that top eight now. They're in trouble. But some real upsets in the AFL this weekend. The top of the ladder, Geelong, were upset by the Western Bulldogs, who are starting to surge. And Collingwood, again, they're hitting a mid-season slump. The Magpies, they were also beaten in their game against Hawthorn, which has revived Hawthorn's hopes. So just back to the NRL and the Dragons game against the Storm, 16-14. That man, Cameron Smith, he's a phenomenal player in terms of how he can marshal his troops and conjure a win out of nothing. Also scored his 2,500th point, the first man to break that barrier in the NRL. And next week against the Sharks, this is almost unfathomable. He'll play his 400th NRL game. And, Michael, he's playing as well as ever.
He's playing better. His last 18 months, I think, were better than his previous 18 months.
Yep.
And he's developed a running game, which we probably haven't seen from him in the past couple of years, because he hasn't had to. He's had Kronk
and Slater
and he just needed to feed him the ball at times. Yep. But now, with those guys gone, he's really taken some ownership. And we've seen at times this year, when he wants to turn it on and take control of the game, you still can't stop him.
He's a phenomenon. Well, next week, will you cover that Sharks?
I'll be there. I'm really looking forward to
it. It's a milestone moment in sport, which leads us to our sporting topic. And I guess milestone moments in sport, there's so many of them. If you're there, even better. Have you got one that really springs to mind?
Well, this time next week, I'll have the Cam Smith one for sure. But casting my mind back to the 2015 Grand Final, North Queensland up against Brisbane. Easily the most
extraordinary game
finish to a Grand Final I've ever been part of. And the press box, you've been in plenty of press boxes. They're generally a pretty quiet place, particularly just before full time, because we're all frantically on deadline trying to file. Everyone stopped and roared. It was just an echo when Michael Morgan throws that flick pass, when Jonathan Thurston hits the crossbar, when Ben Hunt drops the ball.
And then Thurston gets the field goal.
Amazing.
It was one of the all-time great
games. Amazing moment.
And you were there. Now, fair enough.
What about you, Ray? What did you?
Okay, I'm loath to say this because I can almost see panel operator finger getting ready to press a button. Getting the opportunity to cover Wimbledon in 2012.
Yeah, well, it's a good timing, Hamish.
Okay, that's enough. It was a boyhood dream of mine to get there one day and cover it, but to be there when Roger won his record equaling seventh Wimbledon after he'd gone a number of years without winning a major and sort of got his career back on track. And to me, that was a milestone moment for me. And hopefully that's the last we hear that song for this show. Well, look, that's our talk topic for the day. Milestone moments. Great if you're there. Doesn't matter if you're not, but whatever resonates with you. Let us know your thoughts on 1353 53. SMS the show on 0419 767 272. Anything to do with sport, love to hear your thoughts. You're with Michael and Ray on a Sunday morning.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old and 5-year-old Pacer of the Year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the Tab app or at your local. The Kosciuszko, tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Dynamics indications, Gay and Adrian present a colt by exciting new sire, Exosphere, Lonro's Group 1 winning champion. Speed, power, glory. He was the best of his generation, winning five, including the Golden Rose. Jerry Harvey bred and sold this Magic Millions colt, then purchased 25% to own and race with Dynamic Owners. Join our Jerry Harvey, Gay and Adrian team at $9,670 per share. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Look, there's no easy way to do this, but I can't work here anymore. You know I love it here. In fact, you're the reason I've stayed here so long. It's just the time has come. I have got to get home for dinner.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
Healthy Wolf is late. We've got a single set. It's Reflect the Stars at the 100 just in front. Got a single set coming out after it. Reflect the Stars got a single set. Drives and not a single set has won it. From a photo, Wealthy Wolf, Reflect the Stars at American in Paris.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And that was not a single cent winning the Mahogany Challenge on finals day at Flemington yesterday for trainers Kieran Maher and David Eustace. Big day at Flemington yesterday. Big day at Randwick yesterday, Michael. We had a heavy nine, but the racing was really good. A couple of promising horses. Now, we've been mentioning right through the winter the two-year-old racing has been quite strong. I think we saw another pretty promising horse yesterday. Even the runner-up's got a future in the opener. Let's listen to Rule the World holding off Betcha Flying.
Rule the World held together still at the 300 from Siesta Key. A length off now to Strange Charm making ground. Frosty Rocks are just plotting. Rule the World at the furlong. Still a length and a half to Siesta Key. Roman Wolf looking to work into the clear, but Rule the World going great guns. At the end, Betcha Flying's coming with a big finish late. A real big finish. Rule the World in front and will win it just by about a long neck to Betcha Flying. Photo for third, Roman.
Yeah, unbeaten now in two starts, Rule the World. He held off the fast finishing Betcha Flying. I guess, Michael, there are times when us as sports journalists, we get carried away with things in off-season form. This is obviously a quiet time for racing, but even through the winter, we've seen some promising horses come out. It's a bit like going to a trial game and seeing a young footballer emerge, isn't it? So you never know when the next star's coming along.
Who have you sort of identified? Who's sort of some of the standouts for you, Rainer? That you've had a bit of a look and seen what's out
there? In the
winter? Yeah.
This horse in the next.
Yeah.
His name is a headline maker's dream. The obvious headline for out of Sir Elton's win yesterday was Rocket Man. Our sub-editor is going to have fun with this horse. He's made it three from three. He's highly promising. Hugh Bowman's comeback ride. He lands on a good horse straight away. Remember his name. It's called Sir Elton.
Top of the rise now. Embracer and Sir Elton. Bare Naked Lady going well. Then can Give Me Shorter and further back to Quick Neck. He hasn't fully committed on Sir Elton yet. Bare Naked Lady under pressure. Give Me Shorter at Otters running a race. Sir Elton at the furlong. A length clear from Give Me Shorter. Deodoro late. But it's Sir Elton on the yellow brick road late. Drawing away. Pretty cozy. And on song for the hat trick. He won it easily, Sir Elton. Photo for the miners. Give Me Shorter and Deodoro.
Yeah, three from three, as I said, in his debut preparation, Michael, trained by Adam Duggan. He's doing a terrific job with this three-year-old. We'll talk to Adam shortly. What I liked about his win yesterday, Michael, his two previous wins were on much firmer ground. He's got brilliant speed. He runs blinding sectionals. Yesterday, we'll ask Adam, but I don't think he was entirely comfortable in the heavy conditions. But there's no substitute for class in any sport.
No, that's right. And a key element of when you're looking at athletes, or you're looking at horses to see how they adapt in different conditions, and it did that yesterday.
Hugh Bowman, really interesting. I know you're on the periphery of a lot of sports, but Hugh Bowman took an extended break after the Sydney Autumn Carnival. I guess he cited the pressure of riding Winks right through that period, pretty much for 4 years, but particularly the last 12 months, the build-up around her retirement. We all knew that retirement was coming into this Sydney Autumn Carnival. Everywhere Huey went, he handled it with aplomb like he always does, but the pressure was building. He didn't realise that pressure was building so much until he went to a Warwick Farm midweek meeting on May 1, and he thought, I don't want to be here anymore, I want a break. in racing in particular, jockeys don't get much opportunity of a break. Yeah. Trainers don't. Other sports too. The burnout factor is so important.
It's real,
isn't it? You know,
it is real, and it can creep up on you as well. Have you seen a jockey under any more scrutiny in Australia than Hugh riding Winks?
Not for that extended period. I remember Glenn Bossman, who was riding Maccabi Diva in her 2005 campaign, heading towards potentially her third Melbourne Cup, which had never been done before. And Glenn Boss was actually writing a column for the News Corp paper, which I was ghosting for him. And I remember him, because he was a bit like Huey. He used to enjoy the pressure. He enjoyed the publicity. He enjoyed that that build-up to big races. But he was saying it was getting to him because he couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And someone was bringing up Maccabi Diva and can you win that third Melbourne Cup. It would have been like that with Huey Bowman, no doubt. You know, will she keep winning, Huey? You don't want to see her lose, you know. And it was up to the jockey to make sure she didn't strike trouble in a run and get beaten.
And this is what I find remarkable, that players who back up a couple of days after Origin, because Origin is put on a pedestal in rugby league, particularly the decider on Wednesday, and some of these guys are going to be backing up in front of 10,000 people 48 hours later. It's got to be a big come down for them, just to get them up.
I'll ask you about that, because I've often heard footballers say they prefer to play on the Friday rather than the Sunday.
Yeah, just to get it over with, I think, as well. And instead of dragging on, they get it over, and then they can have their weekend off and get that, and they get and deal with that come down. Otherwise, it's you can probably still be up for 48 hours, I guess, after such a monumental occasion, particularly if you win.
Exactly.
It's much easier if you win, but if you lose and you got to try and squeeze out to Sunday and you got to focus.
Your body sore.
It's difficult.
Exactly.
It's difficult.
Another horse I think has got a promising future, and we'll talk to Ron Quinton a little bit later, Michael. He was third up. It looked his race. Brilliant ride by Sam Clinton, who's riding in terrific form. Here's Lundberg winning at Randwick yesterday.
Then Yunberg just behind them in the white hat, looking for a bit of room. And further back to Kanachi, 300 out. Bangkok lays it down to Charaterra. Yunberg needs a bit of room. Condor the outside. Yunberg goes back to the fence. Further back to Kanachi. And Shazzy Lee's running a race on the outside. Bangkok moves up to Charaterra. Here's Yunberg going up the inside. Yunberg giving chase now to Bangkok. And Yunberg kicks clear and is going to score. Yunberg from Bangkok and Charaterra. Then Condor.
He did a good job, Yunberg, and named after the soccer player, Michael, and he's going great guns, and he does enjoy these wet tracks. But we'll talk to Ron Quinton shortly just about his plans going forward with a promising young horse. Talk about promising, Notation. Matty Dale's found a good one here. She just keeps winning.
Around the turn in the second leg of the Daily Double. Echo Gem just in front of Notation. Two lengths clear from Aim for Perfection being revved up. Velocita winding up on the outside. And then came Dane Fakiri. Misdeed not a factor yet. Ducking and weaving. Notation got the better of Echo Gem. Two lengths away to Velocita. Then came Aim for Perfection. But Notation, the filly, full of running 50 metres out. And there's 3 for 3 this preparation. Notation by 2.5 to Velocita. Aim for Perfection, third. Echo Gem 4.
Yeah, no, she's going great guns as Fastnet Rock filly, and look, she's potentially on the path towards the Cosy Oscar, the $1.3 million race, Michael, for country-trained horses only on Everest Day in the spring. At the moment, she's a $15 chance in the Cosy Oscar in early markets. Victorum, currently the favourite, at $4, ahead of Noble Boy at $4.60. Cosy Oscar tickets are on sale now. You can buy them through the Tab app for $5 or at any Tab outlets for potentially a chance to part own a horse running in the Cosy Oscar on October 19. Notation certainly heading the right way. Michael, with Winx's retirement, I think the best horse in the world right now is another mare out of England. Her name is Enable. We hadn't seen her since she won her second successive ARC and backed it up and won the Breeders' Cup late last year. The first ARC winner to win the Breeders' Cup. 8 months off, she resumed overnight at Sandown in the Eclipse Stakes. Quality filled up against her, Enable. She is a champion.
Now Frankie says go on the filly Enable. She leads it by a length. Magical though is giving chase. Then Hunting Horn and Regal Reality inside the final furlong. It's Enable with the advantage. Magical is trying hard behind. Regal Reality staying on, but it's Enable under Frankie Dettori to win the Coral Eclipse. Magical tried her heart out but couldn't get to Enable. A brilliant mare, she's done it. Enable from Magical. Regal Reality's Dancer Terrier.
Yeah, what a return by her. She is a champion, and now she's certainly on the path towards a potential third arc, Michael, which has never been done before, a bit like a Maccabi Diva 3 Melbourne Cups, Winx's 4 Cox Plates. Great champions in sport. Can't get enough of them, can you?
Do you like its chances?
Oh, she's a freakish mare. And look, she has had her injury problems. She's been lightly raced over the years because of that. But that's also extended her career to a certain point because they haven't pushed her. Mm. And that return, she was vulnerable first up. And I think her trainer, John Godston, said overnight she was about 85%, 90% right. And a trainer can prepare a horse to be ready for the day. But race, it's a bit like a boxer. If you haven't had a fight for a long time, a bit of ring rust there, a bit of race rust there. But she was just too good. Class, she's just an outstanding mare and certainly right on track for the arc. Don't forget to call in on 1353 53, SMS 0419 767 272. Milestone moments in sport. Love to hear your thoughts on any matter sport as well. And we've got Doug on the line. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Terrific, Doug. What do you got for us, mate?
I just want to talk about, what's his name, Mitchell Pearce. He should be good with Maloney, James Maloney. Mm. Should be good in the Origin match.
Yeah, for sure, Doug. I think he's probably the form halfback in the competition as well. He's really, in the past 2 months, really directed the Knights around the field and was probably unlucky not to be picked in game one. He ruled himself out of game two, so he would have been picked in game two ahead of James Maloney, but now the former Roosters teammates who played in the premiership winning side together have an opportunity to win an Origin Series together. I think it's a great selection, and I'm really hoping that Mitchell does well on Wednesday night.
It's good to see Cameron Smith get 400 milestone points this week.
Yeah, 400 games. Yeah, it's remarkable, and we're seeing such an abundance of 300 gamers too now. They used to be so rare, and next week we'll have Benji Marshall and Gavin Cooper play their 300th.
That's one of the extraordinary things about Cameron Smith's career is he's remained relatively injury-free over 18, 19 seasons now.
Yeah.
Will 400 ever be broken again? Given that the impact on the modern-day player, the collision of the sport.
Potentially, if you look at some guys, one guy that could get close to it is Mitchell Pearce.
Okay, yeah.
He's young enough. I think he's probably played 280 or so games, and he's probably got 5 years left in him.
And even Cameron Smith's point-scoring record. Croker's within touching distance.
Yeah. That will get broken. I think that will get broken. But, 400 games, and as we said, the 300 list was so rare 5 years ago. Now there's an abundance of players on it, so someone will get there, but he's going to play on next year as well.
He's remarkable. It's just amazing. We've got Bob on the line. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, Bob? What do you got for us?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's the way.
I've got a trifecta for you.
Fire away, Bob.
I attended these matches. The first nil-all draw, or the only nil-all draw in NRL, at Henson Park, Canterbury and...
And Newtown, wasn't it? Yeah.
At Canterbury and Newtown.
Was that 73?
82. I looked it up while I was waiting.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the 1-0 win, Newtown, St George, I think, Kenny Wilson field goal, But nil-all, 100%, Bob, apologise.
And I followed that up with Michael Clark's the only test match 300 at the cricket ground.
That's right, against India?
India, yeah.
I went out to see Tendulkar that day.
Okay.
And
clean
skin finally,
he had that day too.
That's right. No sponsor.
That was a wasted opportunity.
I think he batted and got 20 or 30 late in the afternoon, I think.
Tendulkar, yeah, okay.
And then finally, Maccabi Diva's third Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, that was a great moment in sport, wasn't it?
So I was present at all three. I'm sort of proud of that record.
Oh, I tell you what, Bob, that's going to be hard to beat, so stay listening because we've got a Winx book to give away to the winning caller. Adrian from the line. Adrian, good morning.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, it's interesting where they first picked the Origin side and they didn't pick Clamour because he just runs gun barrel straight and doesn't have an offload. So it's going to be interesting because, I mean, to me, Tarek Sims brings more to a football turn than what David Clamour does. But Clement, don't get me wrong, he gets the yards, and so forth and that. But he popped that pass for Damien Cook, which I think surprised the hell out of everybody because he just doesn't offload, and you won't see that for a couple of years now probably. And look, he deserves to be there. But don't tell me he's the best prop in the game. He's not up there with Adam Fanua, Blake and Takiaho. They're the best two props in the game. Easily.
I agree, and he's the best prop in the game, I reckon.
Clemmer.
Yeah. Takiaho is getting there, and Adam Fanua Blake has had a sensational year, but for me, David Clemmer, definitely New South Wales, should be the first prop pick.
He's go forward, Michael.
He's outstanding. Yeah. He's working.
Michael.
Adrian.
Playing against players like Clemmer, they're the best people to play against because you know they've got no second phase pace, you don't have to worry about him offloading, and they run gun barrel straight, and in defence, his lateral movement is terrible, so the back, you know, the tricky backs should just aim for him.
I don't think you're giving his ball playing skills enough credit. I think a bit was coached out of him at Canterbury. We've seen a little bit more this year, but Adam Fanua Blake's a sensational player, and Takiaho has probably been the best prop this year, but David Clemmer's easily the best prop in New South Wales.
And he was so good in game one, wasn't he?
Sensational. He's 50-odd minutes.
Fantastic.
Most of it with a broken wrist, and was sensational. He's returned back for Newcastle. Makes 150 metres most games. He is a very, very good footballer, David Clemmer.
Listen to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Michael and Ray at 7:39 on your Sunday morning.
Great value stallions and attractive all-inclusive breeding packages are the feature of Coringle Stud in 2019. Coringle is delighted to offer multiple Group 1 producer Magic Albert, who has close to 70% winners to runners and progeny earnings of more than 48 million. Magic Albert stands alongside exciting stallion prospect Prized Icon and Group 1 sire Dufour, as well as the Brothers War. For more information, contact Angus Lamont on 0429 842 875.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse, running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the Tab app or at your local. The Kosciuszko, tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Ribchester, the European champion miler 2 years running. Four fabulous Group 1 wins, including the Group 1 Queen Anne at Royal Ascot in record time.
Ribchester and William Buick are the Queen Anne winners.
Ribchester, a son of successful shuttle stallion Ifraj. Record-breaking form at a mile and free of Danehill and Danzig blood. For more information, visit darley.com.au.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do. Thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges, or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box, or to order one for your workplace, search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
In front, Belbar rocks out wide, Kilchap Sevwell late, Silvera in front, packing plenty, favourite home, Silvera wins the cup, Putter second and third, Sevwell or Kilchap.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the show with Michael and Ray. Before we are joined by Adam Duggan, the trainer of Sir Elton, a couple of SMSs through from our listeners. Cadell Evans, Michael, winning the Tour de France, Milan and Tamworth, major great milestone mention. In Australian sport, wasn't it? The first Australian to win such a prestigious event. Also, from Eagle-Eyed Phil, a regular contributor to the show, this is a really good point. Good morning, gentlemen. Re-milestones, Glenn McGrath's 300th wicket of Brian Lara, which turned out to be the middle ball of his hat-trick. He predicted Sherwin Campbell to be his 299th, and Brian Lara is 300th in the morning interview, and then Jimmy Adams for the hat-trick, a milestone with a few layers in it. And also this one from Steve, milestone moments, Brian Lara, 375, Brian Lara, 400 not out, Brian Lara, 501 not out, the highest score in tests and first-class cricket. Can someone tell me why Tendulkar was rated higher than Lara? Lara was a freak, Steve.
Yeah, he was so pretty to watch.
Wasn't he? When he was on, there
was no better cricketer to watch and cause us some misery, didn't he?
Well, I think McGrath and Warne, probably our two greatest ever bowlers, certainly up there alongside Lilly and the greats, they said when he was at his best, well, actually Tendulkar as well, Lara and Tendulkar, you couldn't bowl to him.
Nah.
Impossible to bowl to. Hey, look, I think this man's getting pretty excited. He's got every reason to, Adam Duggan. He's got a very promising horse here in Sir Elton. And I thought he won yesterday despite the track conditions. Michael, Adam's on the line. Adam, good morning. Congratulations, 3 from 3. And am I right in saying he probably wasn't entirely comfortable in those heavy track conditions yesterday, Sir Elton?
Yeah, morning, guys. No, I think you're probably right. He didn't look entirely comfortable on the track, but they tell me they were sort of, it was a bit shifty as well as heavy.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the case. He just hadn't been on, you know, that heavier track, under race conditions. But but he certainly still got the job done, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. Hughie Bowman gave a glowing appraisal to the horse to the press after the race, but what did he tell you in private, Adam?
About the same. Mm-hmm. He just said, pretty rarely asked him to go forward early, made a little bit of use of him. I loved the way that he come back underneath him. Mm. He said, you know, for horses, such an experience. It's really nice to see going forward, and that should enable him to get that bit further, which we think he will. Probably wasn't anything new to me. He's pretty well been doing that sort of stuff on the track, as far as relaxing beside horses on their outside with no blinkers on. I think the blinkers just fired him up a touch, and yesterday was the time to take them off.
Adam, I understand there's a number of offers from Hong Kong already. Do you expect some more after yesterday's win?
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, yeah, they were bringing me again on the way home from the race. and texting me and that sort of thing. Which is, like I said before, it's a nice problem to have. But lucky enough for me, the owners are really keen to race him, and they're getting a lot of excitement out of the horse, and as we all are here, me and my team. So, I'm stoked that we're able to keep him.
Yeah, they're so hard to find good horses, aren't they, Adam? He didn't get to the races until deep into his three-year-old season. Was it just a maturity thing, Adam? Or?
Yeah, look, he just had a few little niggles. He injured himself when we got him on the way home in the truck. He must have, kicked the back wall quite a few times, just the way his legs were, and both back legs were like balloons, and his hocks were like balloons, and he'd injured one foot quite badly, and the hoof, and we got him back to the, I brought him back to the stables. I wanted to look after him myself with my vet, and we had him here for a couple of weeks, and we just didn't like the way one of his feet wasn't healing, and just the pain he was still in, so. We took another X-ray, and a little bit of bone was starting to die in his pedal bone, which is called a sequestrum. So, he was off to have some surgery, very delicate surgery, and luckily the surgery went well, and all the aftercare went well, but it probably slowed us down about 6 months breaking him in. So, probably a bit of that, and just a few little niggles along the way. He's had no real injuries. He's a pretty sound horse. But that might have been a blessing in disguise, as far as he's been able to develop, and I'm sure if he went to the races earlier, he could have acquitted himself well. But I think he's probably not at maximum development, but he's well on the way.
Yeah, no, he's highly promising. 3 from 3 now in his debut prep. Adam, how's he pulled up, and are you thinking of keeping him going for another start or two this winter?
Pulled up great. I'm down here now. I actually just come down to give him a light walk and a trot on the treadmill. I just put my head in his feed bin and see my reflection. He's licked the feed bin, which is great. So he's pretty tough and durable, which I haven't dealt with a lot of these sort of horses, but I imagine this is what you'd expect. So it's good to see with a young horse.
So will you keep him going then, do you think, Michael, at least from the start, Adam, another start or two at least?
Yeah, I think so. Just the time of the year that we're in, obviously spring's out of the question. I'll just have a chat to the owners today.
Yeah.
There's another race on in 2 weeks at Greenwood. It's a 3-year-old 1,200-metre race, benchmark 74. So providing the handicaps don't punish him too hard he could go around in a race like that. I think it'd be perfect for him. Mm-hmm. He got quite heavily handicapped for his wild win. So if they just handicap him on his win, not his ability at Randwick yesterday, you could probably see him turn up in a race at Randwick in a couple of weeks.
Oh, terrific. He's such an exciting horse. Adam, you're doing a great job with him. He's developing into a really promising sprinter, Sir Elton. Can't wait to see him again, and hopefully in a couple of weeks' time. Adam, thanks for joining us this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Adam. 3 from 3. Michael, he's going places, that horse. Michael, it's the hottest tourist destination on the planet, and it just happens to host one of the world's greatest horse racing events. I'm talking about the Land of the Rising Sun and the Japan Cup. Leaving Friday, November 22 with Ambassador Travel, you'll tour the city of Tokyo and be dazzled by the clash of the old and the new cultures. Been in Japan, Michael?
I haven't.
Bucket list item for me. Next up, trackside and allocated seats among 200,000 locals to witness the cup itself. They love their racing in Japan. Then jump onto the famous bullet train, whiz past Mount Fuji to the traditional heart of Japan, Kyoto. In between, you can shop, simply marvel at the Asian delights, or even better, extend into Hong Kong for International Race Week. Call Ambassador Travel now on 1800 777 989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au. This one right out, San Marco is coming right into it, San. Here comes Marco. Down the outside, taking the lead from Caccini, and then came Nevada Dame, but San Marco wide out. Well, Clark's probably started a trend for the rest of the day now. San Marco bolts away from Caccini.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Yes, we just heard San Marco storming down the outside to win the Tab Highway. He's now won his last 3 starts, and he could be another horse potentially on the Kosciuszko path. He's a promising horse. Ronnie Quinton's on the line. He had the impressive Yunberg. Did I get that right, Michael? I get it wrong every time.
I think so. Why don't we ask?
I'll ask Ron Quinton. He's on the line. Ron, good morning. I can't pronounce it, but I do know you've got a promising horse there.
Yeah, no, look, he's always shown good promise, and, he's a very consistent galloper, and, he's won 3 in town now, so it'll make it a little bit harder to place him a little bit, I suppose, but, he's a good, honest performer.
And for this time of year, too, Ron, Yunberg handles wet track conditions, and it looks like we're in that period now. We're going to get a few wet tracks back to back, so that's a massive box to tick for him.
Oh, for sure. If they can handle wet ground, well, it's a tick in their box for sure. So it looks like we'll have wet tracks for a little while yet, I'd say.
So, Ron, clear it up for us. How do we pronounce it?
It's pronounced Yunberg.
Okay. Yeah, after the soccer player. Yeah, after the footy player, yeah.
So what are you playing? Sorry.
You drop the L, and the last bit, Berg, is actually pronounced Burr, not Berg.
Okay, Yunberg. Okay.
Yunberg.
We got it, Ron.
So what are your plans for it going forward?
I just have to wait and see what the handicapper does with his rating now, and that'll have a lot to do with it. I'll be guided how he pulls up this week, work that out, and then be guided by the handicapper what rating he puts him up to, and that'll be how I'll have to work it out with the rating.
Mm. Yeah, promising horse going forward. Good problem to have, Ron. Ron, I was going to ask you about Sammy Clinton, who rode the horse for you yesterday, and, of course, she's had her own issues with injury and then becoming a mum, but she's made a magnificent comeback to race riding, and that was a super ride yesterday on Yunberg.
Yeah, no, she took a lot of notice of how I wanted him ridden, and she rode him exactly how he wanted to, and she summed it up really well. And I thought that the best part of her ride was the early part of the race where she held a position from the rails and then took a sit. After they settled down, just going around the first turn. So, because you're not, from that 1300 at Randwick, you haven't got much of a run of that first corner. So, I thought she summed it up really well, and And no, look, she's riding really well. And actually, the girls are the girls are riding super.
Jenny Duggan, and Kathy Abraham.
We've got a bunch of them now that are really riding well. And, you know, it's not... And a couple of them have got that nice little claim.
Exactly, yeah. And, Ron, I know you've had a lot to do with Hugh Bowman over the years. He was very close to you. He was apprenticed to you when he first came to Sydney. He returned yesterday, and Michael and I were talking earlier about the burnout factor, which obviously was one of the reasons why he took that extended break. Is it an issue amongst jockeys, Ron, and will we see more jockeys potentially take an extended break at some stage during the racing season?
Well, the thing is, these days, we're racing every day, almost, and a lot of these jockeys are riding at nearly every meeting. And also, the big factor with Hugh was that anyone that's riding a horse like Winx, the pressure and the... We know Hugh is a pretty cool customer, but by the same token, there's a lot of... A lot of stress and pressure put on you because no one expects those horses to get beaten, and you've got to be on your game, and it does take a toll on you. And I think was the best thing he could have ever done was just have that extended break. And I had actually had dinner with he could have rode Lundberg yesterday, but he couldn't ride under 58 first day back, so. I had a bit of dinner with him last night, and he seems really, really good and refreshed.
Yeah, you know, he's an elite athlete, and it's great to see him back. Hey, Ron, Lundberg, we finally got to the bottom of it. We know how to pronounce it now. We do know, though, he's a promising horse going forward, and hopefully there's a few more wins in store for him this preparation. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ron.
No, it's a pleasure, guys. Always.
Thanks so much, Ron. Interesting, one of the all-time great jockeys, Ronnie Quinton, a Hall of Famer, and... That burnout factor, and he's right, because back in his day, effectively, there was Sydney racing on a Wednesday and a Saturday. Now there's provincial meetings where a lot of the top jockeys are required to ride. A lot of the other jockeys who maybe not in that absolute top echelon ride at city, provincial, often at country, 6-7 days a week. The burnout factor, I think it's a real issue going forward.
Yeah, it's definitely something they need to monitor, because to get the best out of not just the horses but the jockeys as well, they need to be fresh, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. It's such a dangerous sport. A few of our listeners chime in with their milestone contributions to our talk topic here. No name this one. The Aussies winning the America's Cup off from JB, putting an end to the longest winning streak in world sport.
Yeah, what a great, great moment. I like this one here. The how about the announcement that Sydney would host the Olympics in 2000 from Davey?
Yeah, now that was happened moment, wasn't it? Yeah, where were you, Michael? You were too young.
I was in year one or year two, but I remember. No, I do remember Dad coming home, because my parents went to one of the announcements, one of the hotspots, and said they came home with free Maccas because they gave away Maccas. I still remember it.
Yeah, no, it was
there
massive. Tan, where were you when the announcement was made?
I was in the city.
Yeah, you were working,
yeah.
Probably.
I was there, yeah.
It was huge,
in the
wasn't
city,
it?
Yeah.
It was televised
Sydney.
Everywhere. Sydney, yeah.
I was in one of the thousands and thousands of people that were there to watch it on the big screen.
Yeah,
we were there when we could have watched it at home on TV. I don't know, but you've got to be there. It's not the same unless you're there at the game.
You were there, moment.
Isn't that right?
We're now joined by Tanya with the scratchings this morning for Grafton and Mudgee.
And also Sunshine Coast. And there's also racing in South Australia at Port Augusta. Starting with Grafton, the weather is fine. The track is soft 6. The rail is out 4 metres from the 1600 to the 400. 3 metres the remainder. And there are 32 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2 take out number 1, Heritage Sash. 5, Jarrow. 6, Neva. 8, Brownie Points. 9, Jackpot Telephone. 10, Let Me Guess. And 15, Daunting Warrior. 1, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 and 15. Race 3, number 2, Sebago. 7, Decisive Heart. 16, Adventure Queen. And 17, Double Essie. 2, 7, 16 and 17. Race 4, number 9, Manila Miss. The Emergencies, 14, 15 and 16. 9, 14, 15 and 16. Race 5, take out 1, Classy Fella. And the Emergencies, 16, 17 and 18. 1, 16, 17, 18. Race 6, number 7, Donald Krupt, 12, Amagil, and the Emergency 15, 7, 12, and 15. Race 7, number 1, Lippy and Pearls, 2, McKellar, and 10, Colton, 1, 2, and 10. To race 8, take out 9, Saunger, and 11, Spiral, 9, and 11. And race 9, number 1, Early Man, 2, Serious Dancer, 14, Verganza, and Emergencies 19 and 20. 1, 2, 14, 19, and 20. Out of race 9 for the first day of the Grafton Cup Carnival at Grafton, as mentioned. To Mudgee, the weather is fine. The track a good 3. The rail is true, and there are 16 scratchings. Race 1, take out 3, Lasso, and 9, Stella Veloci, 3 and 9. Race 2, number 4, Funny Things, and number 8, Princess Eve, 4 and 8. To race 3, take out 2, African Academy, number 2. Race 4, number 4, Silly Sally, 11, Artistic License, 13, Knight's Honour, and the Emergency 15, 4, 11, 13 and 15. Race 5, number 7, Gentle Persuasion, and 8, Hamoon Boy, 7 and 8. Race 6, number 2, Equilibrium, and the Emergency 15, 2 and 15. And race 7, number 3, Bright Idea, 7, Iona Nicconi, and 10, Del Chuzi, 3, 7 and 10 from race 7 at Mudgee. Now, boys, at the Sunshine Coast, the weather is overcast. The track is a heavy 10. The rail is out 3 metres the entire course. Penetrometer 6.83. How did you know that's what I was alluding to? I haven't come across this for a long time. There are 60 scratchings. Probably more running than not. Yeah. So I'm just going to go through the numbers once.
Correct.
Give me a call, folks, if you miss any of them. So race 1, take out 1 and 6. 1 and 6. Race 2, 2, 4 and 5. Race 3, 1, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11. Race 4, numbers 2, 3, 5, 6, 10, 13, and 14. Race 5, number 1, 5, 6, 9, 10, and 11. Race 6, 1, 3, 7, 9, 10, 11, 13 and 15. Race 7, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 13, 14 and 17. Race 8, 1, 2, 3, 6, 7 and 12. And race 9, take out 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 15, 16, 17, 18 and 22. That's 60 seconds of the most riveting radio you'll ever get.
Record. Outstanding job, 10. Tips today, Grafton, race 4, number 1, Ashman, into race 7, number 5, In Your Skyrocket. And then on to Mudgee. They're a bit short, but they should win. Race 3, number 1, Skin Deep, into race 7, number 5, Second Step. In the next hour, stay listening. We've got Peter Zorba, Peter Peters, Zorba the Great Man, talking all things NRL. Leo Schlenk live from Wimbledon. No Jimmy Smith this week. Michael Carriana, so pressure is on you in the Event Cinemas quiz. You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Sarah Wombe. The Australia Taxation Office is being inundated by phone calls from taxpayers asking how much relief they can expect after the Federal Parliament passed personal income tax cut laws this week. Sean Bindley has more.
The public sector union CPSU says the situation is not being helped by more than 6,500 jobs having been cut from the ATO in the past few years, warning taxpayers expecting returns may face delays due to understaffing. The CPSU's Deputy National President, Brooke Muscat-Bentley, says people are paying more attention than ever to their tax returns. Sean Bindley, Air News.
A site in Victoria that's older than the pyramids has won World Heritage status. The Bujbim Cultural Landscape in southwest Victoria became the first in Australia to receive World Heritage protection solely for its Aboriginal cultural importance. It was added to the UNESCO World Heritage list at a meeting in Azerbaijan today, following a decades-long campaign by traditional owners, some of whom were present for the announcement. The site was created about 6,600 years ago, by the Gunditjmara people and is considered one of the world's oldest freshwater aquaculture systems. Traditional owner Dennis Rose paid tribute to his ancestors.
For us to get to this stage, it's been a long journey. I'd like to acknowledge our Gunditjmara ancestors who've led the way for us. We know that they're still here with us. Their ingenuity still shows in the aquaculture systems that are still operational to this day.
Cairns police have charged a man with grievous bodily harm after an alleged serious assault in the far north Queensland city. During a fight between two groups outside a pub on Friday night, a 32-year-old man was struck and fell backwards, hitting his head on concrete. He remains in a critical condition in hospital while his 20-year-old accused attacker has been denied bail and will face court tomorrow. Two suspected cocaine dealers have been charged in a police sting in inner Sydney. Police allegedly saw a 33-year-old man and a 30-year-old woman briefly enter vehicles at Woolloomooloo at different times last night. Both were stopped by officers afterwards and were allegedly found with cocaine. Police said they also stopped two drivers, men aged 33 and 20. The 33-year-old was found with $1,200. Officers allegedly found 46 bags of cocaine and cash in the 20-year-old's car. Both men were charged with drug supply and dealing with the suspected proceeds of crime. Prince Harry and his wife Meghan have upset some of the British media by christening baby Archie in a private ceremony at Windsor Castle. The BBC's John McManus has more.
A few die-hard royal fans have made the journey here for the christening of Archie Mountbatten Windsor. But if they were hoping for a glimpse of the boy himself or his parents, they were set to be disappointed. This was an intensely private affair, with a guest list of just 25 and the ceremony taking place in a private chapel within the castle, far away from the public and the press. The couple have faced criticism in some of the papers for their secrecy.
And at least 21 people have been injured after a vacant pizza restaurant exploded at a Florida shopping centre. The blast flung debris across a busy road west of Fort Lauderdale, destroying the restaurant and damaging nearby businesses and cars. This is Air News. The Crusaders have again made pressure. They're placing emerging 19-3 winners over the Jaguares in Super Rugby's lowest scoring final. Cold, slippery conditions in Christchurch turned the decider into a defence-dominated contest, which would always be won by the team who took their opportunities best. Not surprisingly, that was the Crusaders, whose Nelson accuracy steered them to a 10th crown, 7 more than any other side. It was also their third title in a row. Supercars Championship leader Scott McLaughlin has become the first driver in a decade to win 6 consecutive races in the category, with victory in yesterday's 200-kilometre event in Townsville. Australia's Jack Miller has placed 5th in qualifying for the German MotoGP Grand Prix after Honda's reigning champion Marc Marquez completed a decade of pole positions at the circuit with his 10th in a row in all categories. In the NRL, the Warriors were too good for the Knights last night with a 24-20 win in Newcastle. In the AFL, there were wins to the Eagles, Bulldogs, Power, Tigers and Bombers. Sweden has beaten England 2-1 in the Women's Football World Cup. And in the tennis at Wimbledon, Ash Barty has defeated Harriet Dart in straight sets. John Millman has been knocked out, going down to American Sam Querrey 7-6, 7-6, 6-3, while Serena Williams has advanced for the 16th time in her career. Australian Independent Radio News.
Look, there's no easy way to do this, but I can't work here anymore. You know I love it here. In fact, you're the reason I've stayed here so long. It's just, the time has come. I have got to get home for dinner.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
What are we needy?
Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
Warwee Needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. Warwee Needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonders here down under.
Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
The Barbecues Galore End of Financial Year sale is now on. Get up to 40% off a great range of barbecues and huge savings on outdoor furniture. Hurry, sale ends Monday, only at Barbecues Galore. In Yaguna, there's been a crash on the Hume at Horton Street. One westbound lane is closed. In Burwood, look out for a mattress on Parramatta Road or Burwood Road, affecting westbound traffic. And in Blakehurst, there's a boat on the Princess Highway at Terry Street. One northbound lane closed there. The new LG V50, Australia's first dual-screen 5G phone, lets you multi-screen anywhere, anytime. To win one of 50 LG V50s, visit lg.com. Life's good. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe,
first time, every time,
is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
Weather today around the country, Brisbane some showers 23, Sydney partly cloudy, a shower or two 19 degrees, Canberra partly cloudy and 16, Melbourne rain about 18 degrees, Hobart a shower or two 14 degrees, also showery in Adelaide 16 degrees, Perth some rain about again there 19 degrees, and Darwin it's always the same this time of year, Michael, sunny, top temperature 31 degrees.
Adam Carr!
Sports Radio and Radio Tab. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the show. Of course, big second hour coming up. I'm joined this morning by my co-host Michael Carayannis. Regular host Jimmy Smith, he's overseas at a mate's wedding, although Don from Carlton, our good friend, chimed in. Ray, sure you meant to say that Jimmy was at a relative's wedding. He doesn't have any money.
That's harsh.
Jimmy would love that. He loves that sort of stuff. Well, big second hour coming up. We'll soon be joined by Zorba. He'll talk all things NRL, three sleeps to the Origin. Desire. Leo Schlink will cross live to England to get an update on Wimbledon. Of course, Ash Barty through to the fourth round, winning 6-1, 6-1 overnight against Harriet Dart. Event Cinemas quiz, the pressure's on you, Michael.
Yeah.
Jimmy will be probably listening from Slovakia. I think the score is 13-30. He takes this very seriously.
You keep
mate.
Telling me to throw it.
Yeah. Don't say that. He'll listen to that. He'll chime in straight away. Well, all the latest items from Jared Daffy. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on all things sport 13-53-53 or SMS 0419 767272. Our talk topic today is milestone moments in sport, Michael. Mm-hmm. On the back of Cameron Smith becoming the first player to rack up 2,500 points with that winning goal against the Dragons on earlier this round, when it saw him winning 16-14. And, of course, next weekend against the Sharks, he'll bring up his 400th NRL game. Remarkable player.
Remarkable, remarkable. And he'll be celebrated rightly throughout the week. And 400 games for a guy that plays in the middle of the field, regularly makes 40 tackles, plays 80 minutes most weeks.
Mm.
What an effort.
Yeah, an immortal in waiting, isn't
he? Sure. 100%. And the most capped Origin player of all time, the second most capped Kangaroo. It's a lot of football at the highest level.
Some say the greatest to ever play the game. You can certainly mount a case on the stats alone. I wonder what Zorba thinks. He's been good enough to join us on the line. Pete, good morning. And whatever you think about Cameron Smith, he's been a remarkable player for the best part of two decades. And Michael thinks even his last 18 months he's played as well as ever, Zorb.
Morning, Ray. Morning, Michael. Yeah, Cameron Smith is certainly one of the greatest, and if not the greatest. And his record just continues and looks like he might, you know, see out about 440 games by the time he's over, well over 500. When you bring in rep games and State of Origin and the like, and I don't think we're ever going to see a player reach those milestones. Certainly not in my lifetime. Certainly, maybe not in yours.
I've got a long life, hopefully not.
You might see it happen again, Michael.
So there was an interesting story by David Riccio in the Sunday Telegraph today, quoting Paul Vorden, who says Tom Trbojevic can join the likes of Bob Fulton and some of the Manly greats by the time he finishes his career. Where do you see, predicting the future, where do you see Tom Trbojevic ending up?
Oh, he's a wonderful player. But at the moment, he's still behind Bozo and still behind Wombat Eady in my books. He's got to be a little bit more consistent. He's had issues with injuries, which have held him back a little bit. But, he's got the potential to get where Fatty is suggesting. But for mine, Bozo remains the greatest. I played with him. I've seen all the greats in the club play. And he's still ahead of the rest of them in my book.
I remember Bozo as a kid, Michael, and he just had an aura about him. And I was living out at Penrith, Pete, and when Manly came out, they had that star-studded team, 73, 74, just internationals everywhere. But there was one player who just stood out like a beacon, and it was Bob Fulton.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm certainly lucky that I played junior football with Bose down in Wollongong. And we came to Sydney at around about the right time for me and for him. And he was a couple of years earlier than me. And then we got to play together in a winning grand final side. I haven't seen anyone better. And at Manly, and he's one of the original immortals, of course, with Clive Churchill, Reg Gasnier, and Johnny Raper. That was thoroughly deserved, and he stood the test of time. But, I certainly couldn't knock anything that Tom Trbojevic does on or off the field.
Wednesday night, Zorb, what do you think of the side Brad Fittler's ended up with?
Well, I think Freddie, he's shown us to be a bit of a gambler in his short period as New South Wales coach. He didn't gamble very well when he's coaching the Roosters, where he had a terrible record of mid-40%. This time around, he's ended up with his number one prop, even though he didn't pick him. He's ended up with probably the form halfback, even though he didn't pick him. And I think both those players will play big parts in what should be a good New South Wales win on Wednesday night to wrap the series up and put us back where we belong in Origin football. It's been a long time coming. He did it last year, and maybe go back to back. It'll be great. I'm looking forward to the game, but I think there's been some issues in selections in the lead up to this Origin game that really have stunned everybody, and I presume it stunned you guys as well. I fear for Kevvy Walters here. I think he's done himself out of a crack in the NRL with his performance as coach of Queensland this time around. His non-mentioning of the name of his opposition, his idea to have an extra voice guiding his side, it's bordering on childlike. Already calls for Wayne Bennett maybe to come back next season. The drums are beating that. Bennett saying he'd only do it if Kevvy stood down. Well, I can't see Kevvy standing down from the only job that he's got at the moment, along with his broadcasting. Now, it's a big match in a lot of ways and for a lot of individuals.
I'm with you, Zorb. The whole failing to mention New South Wales or the opposition players, it's just madness. It's absolute madness. We saw an interview with Kalen Ponga after the game after Origin 2, and he couldn't mention Tom Trbojevic. Tom Trbojevic just carved him up, and he refused to mention Darren Lockyer. Looked at him and just was like, mate, what is he doing? But you mentioned Kevvy Walters. He's in line for the Gold Coast job. They're going to wrap up their review. Mounting is going to wrap up his review by the end of next week, and the talk is that he may end up at the Titans. Do you think he might have done himself no favours with the way he's carried on?
Absolutely. And if they lose on Wednesday night, which I think they will, then that's another notch in his belt that he can't use. I don't like this Queensland side. I don't think they've got much punch on the interchange. I don't think Mbai, Christian Welsh, Glasby and Fafita are going to give the impetus off the bench that the New South Wales Blues are going to get, particularly from Wade Graham. I don't think Clemmer will start on the bench. I think he'll start the game, and I think we'll see Saifidi go back to the bench. I mean, Clemmer Clemis tried and tested in the Origin Arena. He was the best player for New South Wales in the first half of the first game. And I think there's a few question marks in the Queensland side. Michael Morgan has been way below par in the series so far. I don't think he's a centre. Corey Norman is a gamble. He's rocks or diamonds. I can see him having some issues in Origin. I think Josh Maguire is probably past his best. He can't afford to step out of line in this game. There is a judiciary waiting for him to make another mistake, and I think that'll play on his mind a little bit in this game. No, Blues to win. Surprised that the referees have been reappointed for it after their terrible display last weekend in Auckland. And I, Graham Annesley, well, he promised a lot when he became the minister for everything in the NRL, and every week he highlights the refereeing errors, and there have been plenty lately, but he's done nothing about it. I mean, it's the same old, same old. The Origin refs, as I said, for Wednesday, they were awful last week. What about Newcastle last night?
Oh, I was going to ask
in that
you
game
all.
Between the Knights and the Warriors. I mean, there were forward passes, missed, knock-ons missed, and a lot of them involved tries. The bunker was struggling. Players were nailed for head eyes, which were shoulder tackles. There was a penalty for a scrum feed from a very experienced referee in Gavin Badger. It was terrible to watch. Yeah. And very rarely do you get both coaches that complain after the game, but they both did. Knights coach Nathan Brown said, at the start of the year, they were letting things flow. Now they're looking for penalties. Why the change?
Exactly.
The control of that game last night was amateur-like.
Yeah. So there were so many instances that we could call out last night. Michael was there at the game. I watched on TV. You're pulling your hair out. But this comes from the Windsor Warrior. It's Reid Mamolo, no try in the corner. He says, it doesn't say control in the rule book. Downward pressure is all that's required. There was no separation. We've seen 100 of those tries given. At least give us consistency. It was a try every other week. Another manic Monday coming up for Graham Annesley, Zorb.
Well, it's going to be the same old, though. Mm. I mean, he says a lot, but he doesn't act on it. I mean, the good things they've done, and let's give some credit, the crusher tackle, they've really clamped down on that, and I think that's good. Sometimes I think they happen in a game, and they've got to have the experience to understand when they happen and when they're deliberate. That's an issue they've got. That game last night, that was almost ruined. It would have been, Newcastle, the two tries that the second rower scored, Matautia, there was a doubt on both those because of incidences which happened in the lead-up to the try. There was a blatant knock-on in the first one, and in the second one, there was an injured player that could have been seriously injured right in front of the experienced referee, and he did nothing about it. Went on, scored the try.
Yeah, they had a shocker. And as you said, Zorba, not often coaches unite in their frustrations post-game, but that's exactly what happened last night in Newcastle.
Absolutely. And it's just not good enough. Guys, I reckon this shortened weekend, we've seen the end of St George Illawarra.
They're in trouble now, Zorb, aren't they?
They're in trouble now. Now, the Broncos will be in the same boat for mine, particularly if they lose today. If they win today, it gets them to 14 points. That's halfway where they need to be at the end of the competition proper. I'm just about ready to say they're gone anyway. Mm-hmm. But I've had a real good look this week. Now, out of the last 10 years, 6 out of 10 years, 28 points has been enough to get you in. The lowest that I could find was 24 points in 2007, and it was the Broncos that scraped in then on 24 points. I think it's going to be 28 again, and looking at the Storm are home and hosed, the Roosters are home and hosed, Rabbitohs and Raiders need to probably win next week and the week after, and they'll be there. The Seagulls got the toughest draw of the sides that are in the top eight at the moment, want to get there. They play the Storm twice, and Parramatta twice. So they've got a tough draw, the Sea Eagles. Easiest draw on paper, the Penrith Panthers, who are now going to be on 16 points to get the 28. They need to win a few in a row, and they play at home in the next 3 weeks, the Titans, the Dragons, the Raiders. They go away to play the Bulldogs, which is like beating your mother-in-law in an arm wrestle, and then they play the Sharks at home. So they've got four out of the next five games at home. Watch for the Panthers to make a strong run at the top eight and could get there.
Well, they've already won five in a row, Michael and Pete, so they're on the charge now. Michael, you reckon they can make the eight?
Yeah, out of all the sides outside of the eight, they're the ones that I like the most, and I think Parramatta is... Newcastle probably the most vulnerable, and as Zorba said, Manly have a really tough draw as well, but I've liked what I've seen from them to start the season.
Hey, so what about you, Zappa? One game to complete round 16 this afternoon, Sharks versus Broncos, and of course Wednesday night, the big one.
Yeah, sure is. Look, I think the Sharks today are going to have too much experience and class for a very weakened Brisbane Broncos. This isn't just about one of the weakest sides I've seen them put on the field. Now, for them to fire today, they need Darius Boyd to play well and to lead well, and he just hasn't got the form this year. I think he's lucky to be in the side. I spoke about it last week and said that was he game to drop him? He needs to drop him on form, but I don't think he's going to go that far in his first season as coach there. They're going to rely on... I mean, what about their half 5-8 combination today? Sean O'Sullivan, rookie, Jake Turpin, a hooker, up against Sean Townsend and Chad Townsend and Sean Johnson. I mean, it should be a comprehensive win to the Sharks at home, but the Sharks haven't been as consistent as they should be with the roster they've got. But I still think they'll win today. Dreaming footballer in the NRL. I reckon Josh Dugan's lucky on form to be in the Sharks side, and discussions today that he feels as though he's in line, hopefully, for a test spot with Mal Meninga's side at the end of the year. I think he's dreaming. He's lucky to be in first grade.
All right, so what's your Zappa's up for this weekend?
My Zappa is the Sharks at the line, all up New South Wales at the line. Not massive collect, but good enough to get us a few dollars by Wednesday night.
Terrific, Pete. Good luck with the Zappa. They're on today's specials on the TAB website. You can check them up now. Thanks for joining us, Pete. We'll talk next week, hopefully.
Okay.
Blues win after the Origin. There's Peter Peters, always on the money. What about Darius Boyd, mate? He raised Darius Boyd's situation, and look, his form hasn't been good. I guess he's one of the most experienced players at the Broncos. He's their skipper. He's the guy, their go-to man when... they're under pressure, and he's just not delivering.
Yeah, I don't think they could have dropped him this week, given all the outs and inexperience around that side. And but I thought it was the final play by Anthony Seibold last week when they moved Anthony Milford to fullback and Darius Boyd to the sixth jersey. Milford's injured now, so that experiment won't go ahead. So he might have bought it a bit of time there, but there's no doubt he's horrifically out of form, Darius Boyd.
Massive confidence thing. We've got John on the line. John, good morning.
G'day, fellas. How are you going?
Terrific, John. What do you got for us, mate?
Mate, the cricket.
Yeah.
Got to talk about the game last night. Look, this is a pet subject of mine, mate, this continued abuse our players are facing. I've never seen a level of unsportsmanship. I actually think the booing and the abuse of our players has actually surpassed what happened in South Africa last year on a level of degradation. To be honest, and fellas, I don't know if you've watched what you've been watching his body language, especially as he leaves the field, even when he's batted quite well. I really think this is affecting Steve Smith. It's just having no effect on David Warner, but noticing his body language, I do think it's getting to this kid.
John, you'd almost be human if it didn't, wouldn't it, I think? And even when Warner got his 100 again, I know you said it hasn't been affecting him, and he's been batting brilliantly, Warner, another 100 overnight, but the chorus of boos that he had to face as he walked off after being dismissed for 122. There was hardly any polite applause, John.
We'd be doing it if it was another country and they were out here. We'd be doing exactly the same.
That's a good, fair point. Yeah,
but we know Board Merrily for 15 years after the event.
Richard Hadley.
You know, like, it's just... just one of those things. As long as they're not abusive in what they're saying, if they're just billing, they've got to suck it up.
And John, wait to the Ashes. The Barmy Army will really fire up during the Ashes, John.
I think so. I actually think that's going to start at Edgbaston on Thursday, because that is a real hotbed. For those fans over there, and I think it's going to get worse. But I disagree with what Michael said. No, I've been going to cricket here in Australia, mate. My first game that I attended was way back in the 70s. I don't think I've seen. Yeah, I've seen booing. I don't think I've seen such sustained hostility from ground to ground like this. That.
Yeah, we're not hostile. I guess in that sense, we're not aggressive in the way we act, but they'd be copping a rough stick.
No, yeah, good call, John. Tony's on the line. Tony, good morning.
How you going, guys?
Terrific, Tony.
There you go. I just want to talk about that try last night. Like, how the bunker can get that so wrong. And there was one in the Tigers-Roosters game the night before where it was clearly no try, and it was given a try.
Inconsistencies, Tony and Michael. I think that of all the issues in NRL, one thing that completely drives the fans mad is inconsistency with these sort of rulings.
I asked Stephen Kearney in the press conference last night what he thinks when he goes up there. He goes, I've stopped trying to guess. Well, he goes, I've just stopped. They've made, and his words were, there's been weeks of howlers. That's what he said, and he's frustrated with it. I think everyone's frustrated with it, and you can sort of understand when an on-field official makes a mistake in the heat of the moment, but when the bunker makes some glaring errors, people can't cop that.
Yeah, inconsistencies, and that does drive the fans mad. 8:29 your Sunday morning. Listen to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Michael and Ray. We'll be back shortly, hopefully, with Leo Schlenk live from Wimbledon.
Tintin in America, winner of 5 Group 1 races, already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder. Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the Tab app or at your local. The Kosciuszko, tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Does your small business need new equipment, another renovation, a little more stock, or even some extra staff? A business loan could help. Look no further than OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group are trusted by over 80,000 small businesses worldwide and have already lent over $10 billion globally. So for a loan to grow your business with money in your account as fast as the next business day, visit ondeck.com.au now. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Coringal Stud introduces the outstanding stallion prospect Price Icon to stand his first season in 2019. Price Icon won or placed in all 7 of his starts at 2, including winning the listed Fern Hill and Group 1 Champagne Stakes before an emphatic victory in the VRC Derby. He's a winner of more than $2.1 million in prize money and a clone of his champion sire More Than Ready. Price Icon will stand at an introductory fee of $11,000 and all-inclusive packages are available. For details, visit coringalstud.com.
And Ash Barty moves comfortably through to the fourth round.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Michael and Ray. We're now joined by Leo Schlenk, our good friend, live out of Wimbledon. And more good news for the Australians overnight, Michael, with Ashleigh Barty continuing her charge through to the round of 16, beating Harriet Dart of England 6-1, 6-1. Leo's on the line. Leo, good morning from back home. Good evening over there in England. And Ashleigh Barty's form's pretty ominous so far.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Yeah, it certainly is. And she's starting to build nicely. And just the way that this what appeared to be a horror draw has actually opened up for her.
So who's
all
her,
those players.
Sorry, Leo. Who's her round of 16 opponent? Do we know yet? Or
She's got Alison Risk from the United States, who is ranked about 50 in the world, 54. And so she's had a really good tournament, tough player. But in this round, it could have been Muguruza in the previous round. It should have been Belinda Bencic, according to the seedings, next. And then also out of that section, we've lost Angelique Kerber, Maria Sharapova. So three Wimbledon champions have disappeared from the pathway that Ash originally had. So it's still going to be tough, but it's much more inviting than it was.
And I guess, obviously, Leo, it sets up a prospect of a quarterfinal match against Serena as well. And the comments from Serena during the week, how did that go down with Ashley Barty's party?
She seriously doesn't mind what anyone says or thinks. She's just in that bubble at the moment, Michael, and that's the most impressive thing about her, that nothing seems to disturb that. And if that match were to materialise, it'd be fantastic. 23-time major winner against the current world number one and tournament favourite for a place in the semi-finals. That's huge stakes. And what Serena showed today was a good bit of form. Ash got the job done against someone who was totally outclassed. And look, I think, you know, it'd be a fantastic thing to see. It'd be great to get Ash through past Alison Risk. I think she can do that. And then who knows? Carlos Suarez Navarro might have something to say about Serena Williams going forward as well.
That's true, yeah. How is Serena's form, Leo? And also, a second part of that question, how Ashley is going since the French Open, since she's became world number one. She seems to be almost, nothing seems to faze her, as you mentioned. That burden of being world number one hasn't bothered her so far. With both ladies going to round of 16, potentially, as Michael said, that quarter-final showdown, how do you think Serena's form is shaping up, given that she's had a mixed year so far?
Yeah, and I thought she looked rusty early, hadn't played since the French Open, and she just looked a little bit slow. But increasingly, as the tournament's worn on, she's got better and better. She had a really good win against Julia Gerges, who's a really good grass court player. But she is someone who just gets better with match play. Hasn't had much of it because of a lot of injury issues. And I think the one thing that's going to help her through the tournament is that she's playing mixed doubles with Andy Murray. And I think she gets a lot of confidence from that and also a lot of touch. So she's improving. Ash is totally immune to everything that's going on around her. She really is in a vacuum. And she controls that and her team really well. They just concentrate on the basics. That's the beauty of Ash Barty. She keeps it so simple.
Has there been a difference in Ash since she walked away with that French Open title?
No, she's just, you wouldn't know. She says, I'm the same old Ash. Nothing's changed. And she's had a couple of players come up to her and congratulate her and say, hey, do you realise you're the French Open champion? She literally says, it's no big deal. I'm still the same person, still the same player. But she's here to compete. She's here to win. I don't think she would dare look ahead. In fact, she was asked today to look ahead to that Serena Williams match potentially, and she shut it down. Just said, look, I've got to get past Alison first. It's going to be a tough match. She's going to make me hit a million balls. But overall, her demeanour hasn't changed from the player that she was when she came back, except that she really believes in herself now and she's so positive in her mindset.
Yeah, I guess that's why she's so popular too, because she just keeps everything so grounded. How about the men's draw? The big three are through. Unfortunately, overnight, though, Leo, John Millman just couldn't handle Big Sam Querrey's serve.
Yeah, he had the opportunities, Ray. He was 3-1 up in the first set and lost his next service game to Love, including a double fault. And he said afterwards, it was a match of fine margins. And to lose to Sam Querrey, who back in 2017 had a huge tournament, and he knocked over Andy Murray for starters, and he got through to the semi-finals. So he obviously has a very good grass court pedigree. And John just didn't get any real traction in the match. He was so close. All he had to do was win one of those sets. He created some doubts and some opportunities, but unfortunately, he couldn't take them.
Who do you like in the men's? Who's sort of firm in to really go deep in this tournament?
I thought Novak had a little misstep in his previous match against Hurk, as a really good player. He's next got Umber, a young Frenchman on the left, who's a really flashy player. But you look at his side of the draw, potentially into David Goffin or Fernando Verdasco. Guido Pella, Milos Raonic, Batista Agu and Benoit Paire, and you compare it to the bottom side of the draw when you've got Roger Federer, you've got Rafa Nadal, Kamy Shikori, and a big proven grass courter in Sam Querrey. All of those guys can get through to the semi-finals. There's Djokovic for me right from the start, and I think he's had the little glitch, and he's leveled out again. He's the player to beat.
Mm. Leo, can't let you go without asking about those two controversial Australians, Nick Kyrgios and Bernard Tomic. Firstly, Kyrgios, we saw against Nadal in that second round clash what he can do. Wouldn't you love to somehow get in his head and make him focus and get the best out of his talent?
Absolutely right. To me, he restored a lot of the currents in his game. A huge reminder about just how talented he is and when he's motivated to play, and that was the most impressive thing. It wasn't so much the talent. He's got that any day of the week. It was just the fact that he came there to play, and he made that match a really good quality contest because he was there to play. And too often, he's not motivated to do that, and he admits that himself. And that's why he said about himself, I don't think I can contend for majors because he's not day in, day out, just doing everything he can like Rafa and Roger and Novak to try and do those things. It's only when he really feels like it, that's never going to work. He is immensely talented. As Billie Jean King said, this guy has got more talent in his fingertip than most of the other guys put together. When you consider the big three that we're always talking about, that's just a phenomenal statement.
And what about Tomic and that fine from the first round? Look, I've seen a couple of his peers come out in support of him. Will he appeal that fine for effectively tanking, Leo?
Yeah, he has, Ray. He's going to. And there are parallels drawn today. He won seven games against Joe Wilfred Zonga and was stripped of the prize money because the official said it was, wasn't a professional standard effort.
Yeah.
He got beaten in 58 minutes, which was by far the quickest, shortest match of the tournament. Joe Wilfred won seven games today
against Nadal.
Yeah. Against Rafa Nadal, but absolutely taken to the cleaners. There's no suggestion. So I think in that sense that Bernard is paying the price for tanking in the past. He admits he has. I think this one has got a fair bit of water to go under the bridge yet. He'll appeal, and I suspect with the player support he's got a good chance of getting at least some of it taken back or given back to him.
Fair enough. And Leo, just finally, you're in Novak's corner in the men's. Who's your tip to go all the way in the women's?
I picked Ash at the start. She's got a couple of tough obstacles there, Ray. If she gets her Alison Risk, it's probably going to be Serena and then probably into Petra Kvitova. So she would have to get through two Wimbledon winners to get to the final if she does that. But she's favourite, and I think the big question mark for her is how does she handle that occasion with potentially Serena. That'll be a centre court match on Tuesday.
Yep.
But I think if she gets through that, Kvitova to me is probably the one query because she's underdone. But if she's on, she can beat anyone in the world.
Exactly. Hey, Leo, I better let you go. I know it's getting late over there in England. Look, congratulations too. I know you love your racing and you're a part owner of Attorney, who's now 2 from 2 in Australia. Very impressive during the week here in Sydney. Do you know the plans for Attorney going forward, Leo?
Oh, look, Ray, Matt Smith's done a fantastic job with his horse and through OTI. And I think he's looking for a Saturday race, and he's won over a mile now and 1900 at Canterbury on Wednesday.
Yep.
And it really suited him the way they went along hard in that. But I think his best will come when he gets out over 2400 metres. And he showed that in France. And he had some nice form and some good races over there. So really excited about this bloke. But as you know, the highs are very quickly followed by lows in racing. I'm just trying to favour that one on Wednesday.
Yeah, tempered a bit, but exciting times. Hey, look, must be looking forward to that second week of Wimbledon, Leo. It's always a fantastic week there at the best tournament in the world. Best of luck, and we hope to talk to you next Sunday morning, Leo.
Good on you, Ray. Thanks, Michael.
Gee, Michael, I hope we're talking to Leo next week after Ashley Barty's won overnight on Sunday morning. He's hoping. Look, call now for Event Cinemas Quiz. Michael, you're in the hot seat for Jimmy Smith. I think the score is 13-all, but call now for Event Cinemas Quiz, and we'll be back soon after this break.
Look, there's no easy way to do this, but I can't work here anymore. You know I love it here. In fact, you're the reason I've stayed here so long. It's just the time has come. I have got to get home for dinner.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
Meet Tom. Tom owns a building company. Business is good, but he doesn't have the budget or the time for remedial management. Then, Tom found Cat Checkpoint, a remedial management system for builders and their subcontractors. With Cat Checkpoint, Tom's team can easily do inspections with minimal or no typing, monitor progress from the comfort of their desks, eliminate dots and endless lists, view subcontractor performance stats, and more, all for an affordable price.
Visit catcloud.biz for details.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old and 5-year-old Pacer of the Year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales.
Business is thriving and we're growing really fast. I want to keep the momentum and open a second garage, but I just don't have the cash.
So, you call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. We've helped thousands of small business owners get ahead with loans of up to $250,000. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you expand your business, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Looking to become a four-time 70 dog consumer.
Unbelievable.
Nobody has done it better. Nobody has done it with greater consumption. Nobody's stomach has lasted as long as Joey's. It's a dirty dozen for Chestnut, number 12 at Nathan's.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Joey Chestnut, is that a sport? Hot dog eating contest?
How many could you do?
Oh, mate, probably 1.5. It'd be
1.5.
He's had 71 in 10. I reckon he's out of form. He had 74 last year. He had 71 in 10 minutes. Can you imagine that?
No, that's disgusting.
Oh, we'll move on.
I'd definitely go more than 1.5.
What are you? Can you?
Yeah, in 10 minutes. In 10 seconds. Might smash a few on the way home.
Event Cinema's newest luxury experience, Event Boutique, Michael, it's now open. An intimate cinema with a boutique vibe, designer recliners, the best cinema sound and picture, service at your seat, coupled with a bespoke menu curated in collaboration, say that fast, with Vic Meats and Sonoma Bakery. Immerse in a designer experience this weekend and enjoy an incredible lineup of films, including the highly anticipated sequel, Spider-Man Far From Home. Head over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. How are you feeling, Michael? Pressure?
Oh, there's lots of pressure. This has almost ended friendships this week, hasn't it?
I reckon Jimmy's listening live from Slovakia. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I better go player one because he'll say if I went player two, I've ordered the thing. So I'll go player one. I think Paul's on the line. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Terrific, Paul. You're set to go, mate?
Yeah, mate.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. Which batsman has made the highest individual score at the ODI Cricket World Cup in England this year? Which batsman has made the highest individual score so far?
I'm going to say Warner.
That'll do. He scored 166 in one of the opening earlier games, and he's another century again overnight, Paul. Question number two. Which former Chelsea great has been appointed the Blues coach for the upcoming season? Paul, it's multiple choice. A, is it Frank Lampard? B, Gianfranco Zola? Or C, Dennis Wise?
Lampard.
Yep, spot on. Flying here, Paul.
Trouble.
This is good news. Question number three. What sport did Olympian Gillian Rolton win gold for Australia? It's multiple choice, Paul. A, was it cycling? B, equestrian? C, swimming?
I'm going to say equestrian.
Oh, Paul, absolutely outstanding in the 1992 games. Paul, stay on the line there. Michael, over to you. Jeez, mate.
This is drama for me.
I can imagine Jimmy when he finds you.
Ian.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. How are
you? I thought you might have hung up. Stick with us, Ian.
I'm here. I'm here.
You're flying ready?
You need three to tie in. That's
are you confident? What are your chances?
I've got to stay confident.
Okay.
Otherwise, cool. I might as well have hung up.
Good on you, mate.
I like it. Question one. Who was the leading wicket taker at the ODI World Cup?
Stark.
Yeah.
Good start. Solid start.
Question two. How far did Ash Barty get in last year's Wimbledon tournament? It's a multiple choice. So A, first round. B, third round. C, quarterfinals.
I guess third round.
Ooh, yeah. Here we go, Ian. Hey, look out.
Another multiple choice question. What sport did Olympian Maureen Caird win gold for Australia? Was it A, cycling, B, sailing, or C, athletics?
Sailing.
Oh, athletics. The final hurdle.
In the 70, bad luck. Paul, are you on the line?
Yeah, mate.
Congratulations, Paul. Clean sweep, you've got the prize. Where do you live, Paul?
I live at Spring Farm at Jackney, Camden.
Okay. Is there event cinemas nearby there, Paul?
Yeah, mate, it's one at Campbelltown. You know, I think there's one at the Realm as well. Thanks, guys. Anyway, I appreciate it.
Terrific. Now, congratulations. We'll stay on the line. We'll get the details and get those tickets out to you shortly. Hey, Michael, that makes it 14:13.
Will I be allowed back, or has Jimmy just marked my cards
will,
now?
He will blow up a tree. he'll slam producer Steve and say it was a rort. There'll be all sorts of drama. I can just imagine. Well, look, I think this man might have celebrated his birthday during the week. I think he's on the line. Jared Daffy, good morning. Am I right? And if I am, happy birthday, mate.
You are, right? Good morning to you and Michael. Yeah, I've made it to another one, so wonders never cease, do they?
Good on you, mate. As we got older, mate, they just seem to rack up. But the alternative's no good. Jerry, that's my theory anyway.
No, it's not. I mean, it's when you get to this stage, Ray, as you'll find out, it's a bonus if you wake up every day, let alone make it to another birthday.
Exactly. Hey, Jared, one game left in round 16 of the NRL. It's the Sharks versus the Broncos this afternoon. But, of course, Wednesday night, the Origin decider. What's the latest odds for both, mate?
Well, today, they're really short now, Cronulla. They're $1.25. The Broncos out to $4.15. They're basically friendless, Brisbane. And that line now is 10.5 points. That's $1.90 either side. And, a couple of big bets early in the week. There was one of 40,000, and I think another one of around about 36,000 were placed on New South Wales at $1.40. They got into $1.37. Obviously, then Pearce came into the side. They've just eased ever so slightly, Ray. $1.38. We've got 3.10 for Queensland. And that handicap line there, 6.5 points, the minus for the Blues, $1.85. The plus there, $1.95. But we are starting to see some interesting Queensland at the 3.10 and also at the 6.5 start.
That's interesting. A question to both of you gentlemen, Jared, and to you, Michael. Origin deciders. I don't think the Blues have won one. Loved your article this morning, Michael, with Brad Fittler, 2004. And the record of Queenslanders in deciders, boys?
15 out of 19.
It's good.
There's two ways to look at that, Jared. The Blues are closer to a win, or Queensland have got the water.
New South Wales are due. I was at school last time when they won a decider in Sydney. What is doing?
What are their odds now, Jared? $1.37?
$1.38 and $3.10.
Oh, wow. That's dangerous.
They look the winners, don't they? But I think one thing from a Queensland point of view is that we want to be competitive. If we're going to go down...
Oh, here we go.
We just want
to compete. That's all. We just want to be...
I know we've got no hope. I read the papers.
We've heard this before.
It's a familiar song, this one. Jerry, what are the holds like on Origin?
That one in Perth was actually quite surprising, Ray. It was high, not as high as what Game 2 normally is, but bearing in mind, that's normally, it's a Wednesday night for starters, and also either in Sydney or Brisbane. But I think we got a little pleasant surprise that it actually worked quite well. This will be interesting because... You nearly need a clear favourite in Origin betting, around about 165, 160 mark. $1.38 is pretty much as short as you get, particularly in a decider. But having said that, I think Queenslanders will be out and about this week on the back of that fact that they are lengthy outsiders and they can't win, as I pointed out. And like I said before,
I've heard this song before.
Plenty of big punters prepared to take the shorts New South Wales. So it's a fascinating game.
Are you coming down for it, Jared?
No, it's on TV, Ray.
Okay. Well, ticket sales, it's about 80,000 capacity.
There's probably almost 10,000 still.
That'll sell out, won't it?
You'd think so, especially if it clears up. We've had some bad weather, obviously, in Sydney the past couple of days. But
there you go, Jared. There's room for you.
Yeah, I've got too much to do, Ray.
Fair enough.
It's a long way to come back with your tail between your legs, if by some miracle that happens.
Oh, I've heard this so often in the past. Another Queensland heist coming up, I hope not. Hey, Jared, three games to complete round 16 of the AFL, and I'm kicking myself. I think you had 525 Carlton and two-horse race last weekend free. I didn't take it.
550, Ray.
550.
But they had no hope. They didn't have Patrick Cripps. They were five goals down. I think they got to $26. They're going along okay, but you know what? The AFL season this year, it's the most bizarre I've ever seen as far as upsets are concerned. We saw more of those yesterday. The Bulldogs won, and Port Adelaide were outsiders in the showdown. But today, the Blues at $3.15, Carlton $1.37, the line there $19.5. I think the only minus for the Carlton side here, Ray, is they're coming back from the West.
Yeah.
Just so difficult to come back. But on what we've seen of them the last couple of weeks in Melbourne all season, they're a respectable quote. North Melbourne, they go to Tassie. They're $1.28 to beat St Kilda at $3.70, a line there of 24.5 points. And what should be a really good game in your own backyard there, we've got the Giants $1.35, Brisbane at $3.20, and a line there of 20.5 points.
How's Ash Barty looking? What are her odds to take out the tournament?
She's looking very good, Michael. She's into 325 now. Pliskova at 450, Serena Williams at 6, Kvitova 8, Simona Halep 9, and then out to 18 for Konta, and $21 for Coco Gauff. She's gaining in popularity as well, but of course we've got the night off tonight, and we see Ash Barty early in action tomorrow night, I think, and she's short there in that game. We've just opened those up, actually. $1.16 to beat Risky.
Wow.
At $5, all of those matches are open currently. Actually, a lot of them are very competitively priced. You know, the women's side of things has now opened up so much, and it looks like she'll probably meet Serena Williams, who's $1.14 in her match against Suare Navarro. In the men's side of things, will Djokovic $1.75. We've got Federer at $4.50. Rafa's into $5. It's pretty much write your own ticket, anybody else there, as has been the case since the market went up. And we've got those matches open for tomorrow night as well. A lot of short price favourite here. Batista Agut's $1.22. Goffin at $1.32. San Querrey $1.18. Nishikori $1.12. Raonic $1.18. So a lot of red hot favourites in those matches that get underway tomorrow night.
Yep, fair enough. South Africa beating Australia overnight in the ODI World Cup. That means Australia slipped to second on the table. They have to now go to Edgbaston to take on the hosts. England and India have finished top of the table. They now play New Zealand in the other semi, Jared.
They do. So we've got those semis open, Ray. Now, on Tuesday night, India are $1.37, New Zealand at $3.10. And Australia $2.10 outsiders against England at $1.75. The market to win the cup. Well, we've seen some massive changes in that one this week, bearing in mind that England got to $6 at one stage when it looked like they weren't going to be there. India, the favourites at $2.75, England at $3. Australia go out to $3.50, with them being the outsiders against England, who are $3, as I mentioned, and the Kiwis, the outsiders, there at $10. So a couple of good matchups. There might be an upset or two. Hopefully Australia
get the upset. Good on you, Jared. Well, look, if you're not coming down Wednesday night, best of luck with you with Queensland. But, of course, we're both going for the Blues down here, mate, as you'd be aware.
Yeah, actually, just before I go, I know that Jimmy would be listening in, trying to pick
Absolutely.
Up how to do this properly. And I must admit, I've been listening and I love it. It's a good combination, you two. You're not bagging anybody or anything. The only criticism I have is that you haven't really devoted enough time to Joey Chestnut.
How many could you do in 10 minutes, Jared? Seriously?
Not 71.
Oh,
actually, I said to Hamish off air, there was a special on it on ESPN on Friday night for an hour. I don't know whether you can go back and view it. You've got to watch it.
Does it take us to his technique or something?
The day. Yeah, I reckon there was 30,000 or 40,000 people there.
And they had over 1 million people watching on ESPN.
Now, well, I know one that was watching it.
He's built like me, though. Where does he fit at all, Jerry?
I don't know. Well, it's a staggering amount of hot dogs, and he was bitterly disappointed he didn't break the record, 74.
He had a form.
But have a think about 71 hot dogs and bread. in 10 minutes.
It wouldn't be...
He is a champion.
Ray Mortified.
Won't be staying down.
He doesn't get the acknowledgement he deserves. He is an athlete.
He's an athlete.
One of the great sports people
he's
of
one
our
of the
time.
Great. we're all like our athletes relatable, don't we?
With no being that next year, Simon Gerrard.
Oh, no, he said he'd be back, and the 90 degrees heat was what killed him. That's why he didn't break the record. He's focused. You can just see it in his eyes and in his stomach. He'll be back next year, and he will break that record.
One of the great surprises of this morning's show is that no one's mentioned him in their milestone moment either, Gerrard, which is our talk topic. No one's mentioned the great Joey Chestnut.
You've got to get a better class of audience in, Ray.
Hey, Gerrard, great as always. Really appreciate it, mate. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk next week.
See you, lads.
See you, Gerrard. This is from Paul from Husken, who's actually a good friend of Jimmy. G'day, boys. Milestones in sport. At the end of the 2000 season, Salford sacked Jimmy Smith, which made it four clubs Jimmy had parted company with. A sad day for Jimmy, and even sadder day for this show. For this, because show, listeners, is in. He's moved into the media. That's poor old Jimmy.
Poor Jimmy.
But he's got all these people love him. They love the great man. Also, this is an interesting one from Manly Man. Our morning, boys. A milestone in sport for me was as a kid watching Alan Jones win the Formula One World Championship in a tough year. I think it was way back in 1980 he won the Formula One Grand Prix, and I think he's the second Australian to do it after Jack Brabham. So I don't think you've been born then, were you, Michael?
No,
it's really sad. This is Ron from Port Macquarie. Good morning and thanks for the show, boys. Yvonne Goolagong, Corley winning Wimbledon after having a child in 1980. I can remember that. It was a milestone moment. Lionel Rose, the first Aboriginal world boxing champion in 1968. And Rod Laver winning the first Open Tennis Championship at Wimbledon in 1968. And the following year when he became the first man to go and win the Grand Slam for the second time. Great contribution from Ron from Port Macquarie.
And good one here from Milkman Yass as well. Adam Scott, 2013 Masters, and Canberra Raiders winning the 1989 Premiership, being the first team outside of Sydney to be successful, living and working in the era. It was huge. Milkman, yeah, says.
I love it. Yeah, and this one, Ben from Newey, coming up towards the 9 o'clock news. Ben from Newey said, good morning, men. I've got to go with the great mares. Winx's four Cox Plates and Mackayby Diva's three Melbourne Cups. The seven rides, this is a very good point, Michael, the seven rides in those races from Bowman on Winx and Boss on Mackayby Diva were perfect. I think he's right. And Ben also says, I think Adrian is suffering from concussion or worse. He has consistently bagged out the best meter game.